Welcome to the Watoto Church Podcast. Prepare your heart as we explore scripture and delve into the Word of God.
Thank you. Let's pray together. Father, we are so grateful that we have the privilege of knowing you and worshiping you. You are seated on the throne, and we worship you. Lord, I pray that there will be no distance between the songs that we sing and the lives that we live, that our lives will be a hallelujah to you, that you will be glorified through our lives, that you'll be glorified through our church, Watoto Church. And that, Lord, it will be your name that is lifted up. We worship you. Now, as we turn to your word, I pray that you will speak to us and that you build us up to be the church, the Spirit-empowered church that you're calling us to be in our city and nation, to bring about healing and hope where there is brokenness and hopelessness. We give you the glory for your word. In Jesus' name, let everybody say amen and amen and amen. Well, we're right in the middle of our series called the Spirit-Empowered Church. And we are walking through the book of Acts, and we are looking at other portions of the New Testament, studying the early church in the power of the Holy Spirit and how the Lord used them to turn the world right side up. Jesus declared in Matthew chapter 16, and verse 18, I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. Jesus was saying that he was going to build a movement of people who've come to faith in Jesus Christ, full of the Holy Spirit, and that he would use them to carry on God's mission on the earth. Well, what is God's mission? God's mission is that we would all be saved, that the kingdoms of this world would become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ, that every knee shall bow and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And we, the church, the people of God, we exist for no other mission but the mission of God, to carry on this work of making disciples of cities and nations. And we cannot do that in our own might and strength. This mission is impossible without the Holy Spirit. And in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, Jesus sent the Spirit in the upper room upon the apostles and disciples who were gathered. It was Pentecost day, and that day the church of Jesus was born in the power of the Holy Spirit. Next weekend is Pentecost Sunday, and we are believing God that once again he would pour out his Spirit upon Watoto Church, that we would be a Spirit-empowered church in the heart of this city, in this nation, in Juba, South Sudan, that are champions, healing and hope for the glory of God. And so I want to encourage you to invite friends and family. It's going to be a special service. Really looking forward to that. Over the last couple of weeks, we've said that the Spirit-empowered church must walk as light. In other words, we must be a transformed people. When we come to Christ, the old is gone, the new has come. We begin to bear the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. And as we walk as light, we must bear the fruit of goodness, of righteousness, and truth. And last week, we said that the Spirit-empowered church, this movement of transformed people, must be transformational. Jesus said that we must be the salt of the earth and we must be the light of the world. In other words, we have this God-given mandate to preserve godliness and to confront evil. And that any church in the power of the Holy Spirit, giving their all to preserve godliness and to confront evil in keeping with our new nature, we're the light in Jesus in this world that he has called us to live in, that as we walk in that mandate, we'll become a church that is unstoppable, a church that the cities and the nations cannot ignore, and that they will encounter Christ and come to Christ. And that is our prayer, that we would be that Spirit-empowered church. So today we want to continue with our series, and today I want to talk to you about the fact that the Spirit-empowered church must love sacrificially. A couple of years ago, a young lady here at our church passed away. She had joined the caretaking team at one of our campuses. And when she passed away, we were able to connect with her family. And when they came to the knowledge, you know, that their daughter had passed away, a daughter that they'd not heard from in a long time, they came and they wanted to participate, of course, in giving her a send-off, but they didn't have the resources. They had no plan. And so we stood with the family. The team from one of our campuses stood with the family. In fact, to be specific, from Luboa, stood with the family. And the sales and the team at the church paid for everything. They covered everything, every cost, and they were able to send her off in a very dignified way. And when the family stood and watched this, they wondered to themselves, who are these people? They wanted to get to know these people that had become family for their daughter. And when they found out that we were a local church and that we had a campus in Luboa where their daughter was serving, they made sure that they found a Total Church Luboa, attended a service, and they came and they said thank you to the pastor and to the congregation for loving their daughter. That day, a number of her family members gave their lives to Jesus. I wonder if someone without our knowledge were to begin to observe our congregation at Watoto and then began to document their findings, and they observed our life as a church for a while, I wonder whether they would come to the conclusion that what happened in that moment was not just an event, but was our way of life. I wonder whether by observing the way we do life together, they would come to the conclusion that we are a people, a family, a church that loves sacrificially. Was that an isolated moment? Or was that our way of life? On the night before the cross, Jesus gathered his disciples and he gave them final instructions. He had walked with them for over 3 years, doing ministry with them, mentoring them. But it was time for him to lay down his life. And in these last moments, he has a conversation with his disciples. He doesn't give them another theology lecture. Instead, he gives them a new command. I want us to go together to John chapter 13 in our Bibles. John chapter 13 and verse 34 to 35. If you read the account of Scripture, Jesus washes their feet. And then it is in that moment that Judas makes the decision to betray Jesus. Satan comes into him and off he goes. Jesus uses those next few moments to begin talking to his disciples about how they ought to live and relate with one another. In John chapter 13, verse 34 to 35, Jesus said, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." Jesus uses the word love 4 times in these 2 verses. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. Notice that Jesus says a new command. If you go to Matthew chapter 22 and verse 39, it is Jesus who said, "Love your neighbor as yourself." And that was the old standard. Jesus now raises the bar completely. And he does not say, love your neighbors, you love yourself. Now he says, a new command I give you. As I have loved you, love one another. Jesus is raising the bar. Jesus is giving them a picture of what love really is. Jesus is about to demonstrate true love. Jesus is about to lay down his own life for all of us in a demonstration of perfect love. Many years later, John, who was in that room with Jesus, when he spoke these words in John chapter 13, writes about love, helping us understand what real love is. I want us to go to 1 John chapter 3 in our Bibles. We'll read from verse 16 to 18. John, who was in that room, John, who saw Jesus' perfect demonstration of his love through his death on the cross, now writes about it. And he writes, he says, this is how we know what love is. And we must know in our day what love is, because there are many definitions of what love is. There are many things that people call love. But John writes and he says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. John says this is how we know what love is. And John raises this beautiful picture of Jesus on the cross. Jesus, the model of what love looks like, of what love really is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. The perfect Son of God, the one in whom there was no sin, went to the cross and died for us sinners. This is how we know what love is. And if you want to know what love is, look at Jesus. And John, of course, gave them a picture of what that looks like in everyday life. He says, you have material possessions. You have a brother and sister who does not have. And he says, if you cannot use your material possessions to meet that need, how can the love of God be in you? You see, Jesus' love was not just a feeling. Someone once sang a song, love is a good feeling. Love is not a good feeling. Neither is love sympathy. Love is seeking the highest good for somebody else. Love is serving the interests of another before you serve your own interests. Love is demonstrated in action. There might be emotions to it, but the only way you know love is when you see what is done. Jesus demonstrated his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. And so Jesus raises this picture of, John raises this picture of true love, which is Christ on the cross. And for us to reflect on that, to ask ourselves, are we living lives of love? You see, love is to be the most distinctive feature of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. A spirit-empowered church must walk in sacrificial love. If we are not walking in sacrificial love, we cannot claim to be the true church of Jesus Christ. And our love must be demonstrated in action, not just in words. For us to then understand the love of God, we must look to two truths. There's two truths that anchor us in God's love, that help us understand what is this thing we call God's love. One, the first anchor for us to understand God's love is this. We love because he first loved us. In other words, it didn't start with us. First John chapter 4 and verse 19, we love because he first loved us. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You see, we cannot give what we've not received. We cannot give what we do not have. Now, as human beings, we are created in the image of God, so there is some capacity in us to love. But our love is selfish. We love where it's convenient. We love where we have an agenda. We love where we have interests. But God's kind of love is unconditional love. In other words, God did not wait for you to get it right in order for him to love you. It is undeserved love. Even though we break his heart, even though we reject his love, even though we despise his love, he still loves us just the same. There is nothing we can do to deserve it. There is nothing we can do to stop it. God loves you. But it is costly love. Jesus laid down his life for us on the cross. It cost him something. Jesus came and took on appearance as that of a man, and then he laid down his life on the cross. That is God's kind of love. He went the whole way. He paid the price. And in and of ourselves, we do not have that kind of love. The disciples didn't invent this kind of love, and we're going to look at the book of Acts where they loved one another. This love was not manufactured by the disciples. You cannot hype it up. You cannot manufacture it. It is a love that only comes from God. The disciples loved one another in the early church. That love was the overflow of a love that they had received from the Lord. And so we look upon the example of Jesus. We learn from him so that we can love. We only love because we've seen a picture of what real love looks like. And the world is full of hurting people who experienced something that was called love but was not love. It was manipulation. For some, it was abuse. And many times they begin to live that out every day. And sometimes they may throw money at it. They may throw gifts. They may even use words they do not believe. They may chase after a feeling. And that's what they're giving because that's what they have seen. And the Bible is trying to reorient our minds about what true love looks like. And we're looking at Jesus on the cross and we're saying that is what love looks like. Because of Christ on the cross, you now know what real love looks like. And when you say you love somebody, that is how you need to love. It is costly. It is unconditional. It is undeserved. Now, Jesus calls us to live that way. So the first anchor is that we love because he loved us first. The second anchor is this. That this kind of love is spirit empowered. In other words, you cannot love sacrificially. You cannot love and pay the price. You cannot love unconditionally. You cannot love people who don't deserve that kind of love without the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. This kind of love is a result of the divine work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. He teaches us this kind of love. Romans chapter 5 and verse 5. God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. In other words, when we are full of the Holy Spirit, when we give our lives to Jesus, Holy Spirit begins to teach us this new way of living. And that word poured is a picture of our own emptiness, we cannot produce that kind of love. We need God to pour it in our hearts. But that word poured is also a picture of how we live this kind of life of love, and from time to time we are emptied of this kind of love. We live this way and we love our families, we love our spouses, we love our children, we go all out to love our communities, and from time to time our hearts can be emptied of this love. And so it is a picture of the continuing work of the Holy Spirit in the life of believers, in the life of a local church, and is continually pouring his love into our hearts so that we can spend it. It can be written on the pavements of our community. And so we are spending our lives loving people the way Christ has loved us, and Holy Spirit is always filling our hearts. He's always filling in our hearts so that when that love is required of us, we are not bankrupt of it. Are you thankful for the Holy Spirit? I'm so thankful for the Holy Spirit because he never runs dry. And the Bible teaches us in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit, in other words, the result of his presence within us, is love. That unselfish concern for others. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And so if we want to not only walk in love, but walk in love continually, time after time, season after season, for us as Watoto Church to love our communities and nurse them back to healing in the power of the Holy Spirit, in order for us to love those who are far from the Lord, in order for us to walk in love, it takes Holy Spirit at work in us. And I pray that as you hear this message and reflect on your own life, you begin to ask yourself, wow, is my heart overflowing with this kind of love? 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8 tells us anyone who does not love does not know God. Why? Because God is love. So you cannot claim to love God if you do not live a life that is overflowing with love. The only evidence that you know God, the only evidence that you have a relationship with God, is that you're living a life of love, because God is love. And if you know him and are in relationship with him, then whatever is of him must be coming out of you. And therefore, for us to understand and to live out, practice this kind of love, it starts with an acknowledgement that we only love because he first loved us. We don't have that capacity. And so by the power of the Holy Spirit, he empowers us. He pours this love into our hearts. And that's what we begin to overflow with. Now, how does a Spirit-empowered church live out this kind of love? Three ways. Number one, a Spirit-empowered church will love one another. They will love one another. And they'll love one another, not with words, but with action. Acts chapter 2 and verse 44 to 47 gives us a picture of how the early church loved one another. The Bible says all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This is moments after the Holy Spirit has come upon the church, and we are seeing that something shifted. There was real generosity. There were acts of love that were happening in the church. Remember, the makeup of the church was interesting, and the community was watching. Some had been Jews. Some had been pagans and atheists. They didn't believe in any God. Some were Greek and had their philosophies about life. But now that they had come to Christ, they had come into the body of Jesus Christ, the church, and had now found a place where there is no Jew, no Greek, no Gentile. They were one in Christ. They were brothers and sisters. And because at the time there was great need, there was a famine, there was persecution, these guys needed to stick together. They needed to look out for one another. The rich were in the congregation, the poor were in the congregation, the educated, the uneducated. And so it was this beautiful mix of people of all walks of life. And guess what? Through the love of Christ in their hearts, they began to love one another. They sold their possessions to meet the needs of those who didn't have what they needed. And what was the result? The city looked at this group of people who were formerly strangers, but now were bound together because of Christ. And how they loved one another, how they stood with one another through the challenges. And when they saw this kind of love, it was sacrificial. People were going out of their way. I mean, people were selling their possessions. People were giving everything they had. I mean, there was complete unity. It was a beautiful picture of love. And when people saw it, they saw a love they had never seen before. And they were drawn, not only to become a part of what they were seeing, they were drawn to the one who had poured this kind of love in their hearts. They were drawn to Jesus Christ. You know, sacrificial love will be our greatest witness to the world around us. We need to be a church that loves one another. And that's why I love our cell ministry here at Watoto Church. It is one way we get to practically demonstrate love for one another. On Friday, as I was driving home, I met this young lady who began to share with me the story of her cell family. She says, "Pastor, my cell family is the best cell family across Watoto Church." I said, "Wow, interesting. Tell me about it." She says, "I came to this church as a teenager. And then in my senior six vacation, I joined a cell. That cell meets in this building during the week." And she said, "I joined this cell and I made it to university and was pursuing education. And this cell family practically loved her by supporting her with tuition through university. Not only did they pay her tuition, they organized and pulled off for her a graduation." I mean, this was beautiful. They loved her. And the day of her graduation was her mom's birthday. And they presented her mom with a beautiful gift saying, "Thank you for raising a godly young lady." Today, that young lady is a teacher in a school, and guess how she got that opening? A connection through her cell family. And when she was at her graduation, sharing her testimony, comes from a broken community. Some of the other young ladies in her community had made dodgy decisions in life and had messed up their lives. Some had had children out of wedlock while they were still teenagers, and they were struggling in poverty and certain cycles that are just holding them down in life. They watched her graduate, one who was among them, one who had found Christ. Christ had changed her life and now had surrounded her with a loving family. And here she is stepping into God's purpose and plan for her life. On that day, some decided to give their lives to Jesus Christ because they saw what God can do. When we love one another, it is a powerful witness to the world around us. And so a spirit-empowered church must love sacrificially. I want to encourage you to find a cell family. Today we have cell families internationally around the world. We have cell families here in Uganda, online and in person. Join a cell family today so that you can experience the love of God, but also so that you can be a vehicle of God's love. Secondly, a spirit-empowered church loves the lost. They not only love one another, they love the lost. Who are the lost? The lost are people who have not surrendered their lives to Jesus. Ephesians chapter 2 says that we were lost in our sin. And a spirit-empowered church that is walking in sacrificial love, we love the lost. I want us to go to Acts chapter 5 and verse 18, 28 and 41. The context here is that the apostles are under pressure not to preach in the name of Jesus. And yet the apostles lived in the city of Jerusalem. And they knew that there were so many people who were not born again. And they had this burning passion in their hearts for people who were far from the Lord. And they would do anything to share the gospel with them. They were under pressure. They were arrested, but Jesus performs a miracle. He sends an angel comes and opens the door, and they come out. and they come out of prison and they go back into the streets of Jerusalem and are preaching. They're brought before the Jewish high court and they're put under pressure. But Peter said some bold words. He said, we would rather obey man than God. We will preach the gospel. Why? Because they loved the lost. Ephesians chapter 5, 18, 28 and 41. They arrested the apostles, put them in the public jail, and they say to them, we gave you strict orders not to teach in this name, yet you have filled Jerusalem, every corner, with your teaching. The apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. How is it that they would be beaten, embarrassed, imprisoned, threatened, and yet at the end of all of that, they would go away rejoicing? What would cause them to rejoice? The thing that caused them to rejoice is that they found pleasure in reaching people who were far from the Lord, regardless of what it cost them. They were willing to reach their city for Jesus. And that's who we need to be in our day. No matter what it costs us, our convenience, our comfort, no matter what it costs us, we must reach people who are lost. Why? Because we love them. We've experienced the love of God that picked us out of darkness and brought us into God's marvelous light. And now we, whose hearts are full of the Holy Spirit, teaching us this way of sacrificial love, we need to be going to our families. We need to be going to our places of work. We need to be going to our universities and lecture rooms. We need to be going and telling people about Jesus, because we know not only how much the Master loves them, but we too love them, and we want them to find what we have found, which is Jesus. Do you have a love for people who are lost? Or have you become familiar with lost people? We have family members who are not born again. Let me tell you something. If they breathe their last and they're not born again, they're going to hell. Our family members are going to hell on our watch. Our workmates are going to hell on our watch. Our hostel mates and university mates are going to hell on our watch. While we sit silently, may the Holy Spirit revive our hearts so that there is a love for people who are lost, so that we will love their souls and preach the gospel to them. Not just once, not twice, but every single day. Not only do we pray, but we open up our mouths and have conversations with them. I am praying that every member at Watoto Church, full of the Holy Spirit, will be bold enough to have gospel conversations at home, at work, at school, wherever God sends us, so that we can help people cross over from darkness to light in Jesus' name. When is the last time you shared the gospel? When is the last time you had a gospel conversation with a family member? When is the last time you invited someone who is far from the Lord to church? Why do we do shift as Watoto Church? We do shift in secondary schools, universities, because we want the next generation to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus. Why do we put on the Mission or Cantata and other events like Heaven's Gates and Hell's Flames? It's so that we can preach the gospel to a city and nation. Why do we do seed projects in our community? We strategically aim at the pains of our community so that we can bring practical solutions which are a vehicle for us to present Jesus to our community. Why do we do Invite Sundays? It's so that together we can bring the lost to Christ. 2 Corinthians 5. For Christ's love compels us. It is the love of Christ for lost people that moves us. We want to see people saved. My prayer is that as Watoto Church, we'll continue to boldly reach the lost for Jesus. And I pray over every single one of you, may the Holy Spirit revive us to preach the gospel. And before the end of this year, may we begin to see salvation come to our households in Jesus' name. Finally, a Spirit-empowered church not only loves one another and loves the lost, they love the least. A scripture that has become dear to us here at Watoto Church is James chapter 1 and verse 27. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. This scripture has gripped our hearts. Since 1994, God has called us to love the least of these. Who are the least of these? those that have been marginalized, that as those that have been pushed aside by society, those who are at the bottom of the social ladder, those that no one wants anything to do with, people that are going to be ignored, the poor, the refugee, the widow, the orphan, the stranger, the destitute, the prostitute. We want to be, as Watoto Church, very present in the streets and corridors of every community and neighborhood, loving them and seeing their lives transformed by the love of Jesus. And we want to do it in a practical way. And we've been doing that since 1994. We have three children's villages coming alongside orphan children. Watoto Neighborhood is about reaching vulnerable women in the community. And what do? We practically disciple. We educate. We make sure we take care of their needs. So we get the gospel into their hearts so that when they grow up, they will be godly transformational leaders. We disciple these women. We give them skills to break cycles of poverty so that their lives will be a shining example of what God can do when we practically become the hands and feet of Jesus, taking his love where there is brokenness in our communities. In Acts chapter 6 and verse 1, 3 and 5, the Bible says, In those days when the number of disciples were increasing, the Hellenistic Jews complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of bread. There was so much need in the house of God. And what did the apostles decide? They decided to choose 7 men from among you who are full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. And Stephen, together with 6 others, began the work of ensuring that the widows in the church were not ignored. You see, the vulnerable were a priority to the early church. They were not an afterthought. In our day, may the Holy Spirit grip our hearts with our love for the least, and that there will not be a burden to us, but we will see an opportunity to extend the love of Jesus. Why? Not so that they can be drawn to us, but that they'll say, Jesus, through Watoto, changed my story. I wonder, has your heart become cold to the least of these? I pray that your heart will be awakened today by the Holy Spirit to get involved not only with what's happening right here at Watoto Church, but in your own family, that you'll be the hands and feet of Jesus, and that the least of these, the poor, the broken, the orphan, the widow, in our households, in our families, in our communities, that they'll experience the love of God through us. And that for the very first time, they will know about a God who not only sits in heaven, but is present here on earth through his people, reminding them that he loves them. And we will be part of bringing healing to so many broken lives. Over the last 31 years, we've had the awesome privilege of being that kind of church. May the next 30, 60, 90, 120 years of Watoto Church be the story of a church who are loving the least of these. Spirit-empowered church is a loving church. Love one another. They love the lost. They love the least. And because of that love, the world encounters God like they never have before. May we be that church in our day, in Jesus' name, amen. Lord, we're so thankful for your word. We hear your voice today. You're calling us. You're calling us to arise in the power of the Holy Spirit, to love one another, to love the lost, and to love the least. God, we acknowledge that in and of ourselves, we cannot do this. Holy Spirit, teach us this kind of love. Pour it out in our hearts. That this church, Watoto Church, will continue to be a church where we love and care for one another, doing life together. Where we love the lost and will do anything to reach them with the love of Jesus. Where we will reach the least of these with the love of Jesus, to see healing and hope come where there is brokenness and hopelessness. All of this in the power of the Holy Spirit. With every head bowed and every eye closed in this place, you're here today And as you're hearing this message, you say, Brian, I'm so far from God. My life is so messed up. I am a sinner. And I don't know that God wants to do anything with me because I've lived a life of rebellion and sin. Listen, my brother, my sister, I just came to let you know today that God loves you. That is why he sent Jesus to die for you and for me. We didn't deserve it, but he did it anyway because he loves us. And today, Jesus is knocking at the door of your heart. Open up your heart and let him in. He's going to come in. He's going to forgive you of all your sin. He's going to give you a brand new life. He's going to fill you with his spirit. And he's going to change your life forever. Today, you will be saved. And so with every head bowed and every eye closed, you say, Jesus, I give you my heart. Save me, forgive me, change me. If that's you, wherever you are, upstairs, downstairs, would you lift up your hand, wherever you are? Come to Jesus. You say, that's me, Lord, I give you my life. Lift up your hand, wherever you are. Upstairs, downstairs, give your heart to Jesus. Come to him. It doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter how badly you've messed up. Lift up your hand. Lift it up to Jesus. Upstairs, downstairs. In the overflow, would you lift your hand to Jesus? Say, Lord, forgive me. I've messed up. I've sinned against you. But have mercy on me. Lift up your hand. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Lift up your hand to Jesus. Jesus sees those hands. Thank you. Thank you. Jesus sees those hands upstairs in the overflow online. You say, today, Jesus, I give you my heart. I've heard of your love for me today. And I surrender my life to you, Lord. Change me. Save me. Lift up a hand emoji in the chat section and type, I give my life to Jesus. On air, would you surrender your life to Jesus right now? Would you lift up your hand in that room and say, Jesus, I give you my life. Here in person, would you respond to the love of Jesus and say, Lord, I cannot go on ignoring you. I cannot go on despising your love for me. I surrender my life to you. Would you lift up your hand? Surrender your life to Jesus. Some of you are recommitting your life. You'd walked away from Jesus, but you're coming back to him today. Lift up your hand. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Come to Jesus. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Lift up your hand and say, Lord, I give you my heart. I recommit my life. Lift it real high. Thank you, my brother. God richly bless you. Would you lift up that hand here in person, upstairs, downstairs, in the overflow? Lift up your hand, say, Lord, I recommit my life to you. Online, lift up a hand emoji in the chat section, type, I recommit my life to Jesus. Do it right now. On air, on Power FM, on TV, would you lift up that hand in that room and say, I give my life to you, Jesus. Church, this is the very last call. Would you respond to the love of Jesus today? It doesn't matter how badly you've messed up, he loves you. He loves you. That's why he died for you, so that you would be saved. He's alive today to forgive you. Is there anybody else? Would you lift up your hand? Lift up your hand to Jesus. Say, Lord, I give you my life. Thank you. Thank you for lifting up your hand. You've lifted up your hand. Joining us online and on air, would you pray this prayer after me and mean every word from the bottom of your heart as you make your personal commitment to Jesus? Church, let's all pray this prayer and encourage our friends to make this commitment, saying, Dear Jesus, thank you for loving me. I recognize that I am a sinner and I need a Savior. Jesus, you are the only Savior. Today, I'm asking you to forgive me of all my sin. Wash me clean in your precious blood. Give me a brand new life. Jesus, I now receive you as my Lord and my Savior. And from this day, I believe that I'm born again, that I'm a child of God. I will live for you and I'll follow you for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Let's clap hands and celebrate every miracle of salvation. You've given your life to Jesus here in person. A friend of mine is going to connect with you. Would love to meet with you after you're joining us online. The link appearing in the chat section is for you. You've just given your heart to Jesus. Click it and let us know who you are. Would love to connect with you on air. you joined us today and gave your life to Jesus, would you send us a quick email to connect@watotochurch.com? We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to walk this journey with you and help you grow to become a fully devoted follower of Jesus. We want to thank you again for joining us today on air. We want to thank you. Thank you for being a part of our celebration service. And our prayer is that throughout this week, that God would fill you with His Holy Spirit and that He would pour His love in your heart so that you would walk in love with one another, that you'd walk in love reaching those who are lost, and you'd walk in love for the least of these. And may He bless you and cause His face to shine upon you in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening. We hope this encourages you to step into the new. Tune in next time as we delve into the Word of God. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@watotochurch.com.